So here we read about the birth of John the Baptist and his father Zechariah's prophecy in relation to John the Baptist and Christ, the salvation of the Lord. And he ends his prophecy speaking about giving light to those who sit in darkness, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high. You know, it's an amazing thing, the salvation that John is the forerunner of and that Zechariah is announcing in his prophecy here. I don't know if you've ever gone on a hike where you've had set out the goal of getting to a certain location where you're going to be able to see a sunrise. I remember one time going with a group of friends, and we left while it was still dark. It was probably 3 or so in the morning. It was a long hike before us, and we hiked up to the top of this mountain and sat there. I remember being cold, shivering, waiting for the sun to rise, and sure enough, it came up, and it didn't disappoint. It was spectacular. This is this spectacular sunrise, giving glory to God, its creator. And so we did this hike, and we saw this wonderful sunrise. We set out on the hike with the promise of the sunrise, and then we saw it delivered. Well, John's dad, Zechariah, speaks about the coming of the Lord's salvation. Look at verse 68. He says, he begins his prophecy by saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." This visitation and redeeming of his people that the Lord would work, that Zechariah is speaking of, he likens to, later at the end of his prophecy, a sunrise, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace, to banish the darkness, to overcome the darkness, to give peace, this redemption of God visiting us like a sunrise. In fact, a sunrise that was promised in the scriptures, that was promised to David. He mentions the Davidic covenant, that this Savior coming through the line of David, who we see is in fact the Lord. Here, look at verse 68. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people," looking forward to the visitation of the Lord to redeem his people, that in fact is there he is in Mary's womb, the Son of God incarnate, this visitation of the Lord, Emmanuel, God with us, whose name is Jesus, the Lord saves, Yeshua, the Lord saves. Here we have the Lord visiting to redeem, Yeshua, the Lord saves, the Lord coming to save, to redeem. And this is like a sunrise, an amazing sunrise that was anticipated and prophesied in the Old Testament. We have one indication of it in the Isaiah 40 passage that we just had read, where it was told that there would be a forerunner, one who would go and prepare the way for the Lord. And this is, in fact, what John the Baptist's ministry was. We have it prophesied in the covenant to David that Zechariah mentions in his prophecy in verse 69. "He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." And it was promised in the covenant made with Abraham. He mentions that there in verse 73. "The oath that he swore to our father Abraham to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear." And so this sunrise, this coming of the Lord for our redemption was prophesied in the covenant with David, prophesied before in the covenant with Abraham, was prophesied in the prophecy given in Isaiah chapter 40. And this promise that is now being accomplished in the day that Zechariah prophesies these things, Zechariah is rejoicing in, speaking by the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that's amazing about this passage is that last time we heard Zechariah speak, if you recall, he spoke words of disbelief. He didn't believe what Gabriel had told him, that his wife Elizabeth would bear a child, she who was old and barren. He didn't believe, and the angel silenced him. And during that period of silence, the Lord was working on Zechariah's heart. And Zechariah came to believe exactly what the angel had told him. And then his first words, after his act of obedience and naming him John, like he was told to do, once he writes out his name is John, which means the Lord is gracious. John means the Lord is gracious. Right after he writes this name out, his tongue is loosened and he prophesies. And now he speaks words of faith. So we see now with Zechariah, his naming John in obedience to what he was told to do, calling him John, the Lord is gracious, even though it wasn't a family name. And then prophesying, as we just read in the bulk of the passage that I just read, prophesying about God's promised salvation and the forerunner of that salvation, even his own son John, he prophesies about this. And so we see this change in Zechariah, in his words now being words of obedient naming and of faith in God's promises and salvation. Now, we know Zechariah was a man of faith. We were introduced to him earlier in chapter 1, but he didn't believe what the angel told him, and the Lord has done a sanctifying work in his heart, and now he speaks words of faith that point to the Lord in his salvation. Naming kids is always, you know, an interesting thing. Some people, I think quite a lot about what they're going to name kids. I remember we thought about naming our kids. Some people tell you what they're going to name before. Some people don't. I remember we were going to name Caleb something else and let my parents know what it was. And then my dad had this nickname for his name that we were thinking of. And so we switched it. And that wasn't the only reason, but but that was part of it. Actually, I like the name he's got now, Caleb. So naming, you know, is a big deal. Parents put a lot of thought into it. Well, the Lord had put thought into the naming of John. John means the Lord is gracious. And he's the forerunner of this gracious salvation of God that had been promised millennia before, that was part of God's eternal plan for us in our salvation. And the forerunner who would come to immediately precede and announce the Messiah coming to his public ministry and his death and resurrection for us. This one's name was John. The Lord is gracious. Now, John had a very important ministry. Zechariah prophesies about it. He would be called, he says in verse 76, the prophet of the Most High, who would go before the Lord to prepare his ways. And this, in fact, was in fulfillment of prophecies. Isaiah 40, 1 through 5, we had the verses 3 through 5 read in between the second and third song. And also Malachi. Malachi prophesied about this forerunner in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. And so John and his ministry was prophesied in Scripture. John had a very important role, a very important task. And so John was blessed. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from the womb. And yet you look at John's life, and in some ways he didn't have it very easy, did he? I mean, John ends up, and we know this now, John ends up being beheaded as part of his ministry in serving the Lord. You see, John's ministry was in light of eternity, as is ours. You know, we're on this in this earthly life for a period of time, however many days that we have, but we know that we have eternity. And those of us who know the Lord have eternity with the Lord, as John the Baptist did. His that wasn't the end of his life, his earthly life, when he was beheaded. But he knew he had eternity to look forward to, and his life had meaning and significance in relation to God and eternity. You know, you might look at John the Baptist's life, and many people from a worldly perspective would say, well, what a waste, what an unsuccessful life. You know, this guy didn't go out and sort of like seize pleasure for himself and build his own kingdom. But when you look at him, you see actually he is an example of a life well lived. We were made, as John 17:3 says, and as the Westminster Catechism echoes, to glorify God and enjoy him forever, to know God. We were made to, our purpose in life is to trust in the Lord and glorify him. Like what Zechariah does with his words, words of faith pointing to the Lord and his salvation. And you see that in these words, Zechariah is fulfilling this wonderful purpose in knowing and giving glory to the Lord. And John the Baptist, he had this wonderful role of speaking about the Lord, knowing and speaking of the Lord, pointing to the Lord. You know, later John says, he must increase, I must decrease. John saw that his life was about exalting the Savior, that he found his purpose, his reason for existence, his joy in giving glory to Christ and being the forerunner that declared the glory of the Lord, that pointed to him, that exalted him. And so in our lives, we were made to know God, glorify him, and worship him. And we have our greatest joy in life. A life that is well lived is one that trusts in the Lord and lives for his glory. Whatever particular vocation we're called to, even if it means suffering and trial, even martyrdom, a life that's well lived, a life that is fulfilling its purpose, is one in light of the Lord, in light of eternity, trusting in God and living for his glory. We see that this is what John the Baptist and his ministry was about, and Zechariah and his prophecy is about, expressing faith in the Lord and his salvation and pointing to the Lord and his salvation. Zechariah, in his prophecy of the Lord and his salvation, speaks about it in terms of redemption. So what is this great salvation of the Lord that John's declaring? This great sunrise, the sun rising from on high, dealing with the shadows and the darkness of the world. What is this great salvation? Well, it's about, look, verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has visited and redeemed his people. Who? The Lord God. Again, this is about, we've already seen in the announcement to Mary, she will name her son that she's now carrying in the womb, Jesus. That was intentional. Jesus, Yeshua, the Lord saves, or the Lord of salvation is what Jesus means. And there Mary is given, told by the angel that she is fulfilling the prophecy in Isaiah 7:14 of the virgin conceiving and bearing a son who will be called Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God with us. And so we see that this one that Zechariah is telling about, the Lord God who's visiting and redeeming his people, is here in Mary's womb, Jesus, the Lord who saves, God with us, Emmanuel, salvation, the Lord visiting, Emmanuel, Jesus. Zechariah says, in other words, the same thing, the Lord God of Israel visiting and redeeming his people. This is the substance of the prophecy of what Zechariah is saying about the Lord and his salvation that John is the forerunner of, announcing as the most glorious sunrise that you could possibly imagine in the history of the world. This sunrise of Christ rising with healing in his wings for us in our salvation, this ministry of the Lord to save us. And what does he say about this salvation? Well, he speaks about it in terms of redemption, for he has redeemed his people. What is redemption? Redemption is to purchase freedom. It's releasing somebody by the payment of a price. A price is paid, and so then freedom is purchased by that price. Freedom from our sins, freedom from our enemies, freedom to actually serve God in peace and without fear and in the way of peace and righteousness, as he further says in his prophecy. His salvation is one of redemption. John, his son, would say this in verse 72. He would give knowledge, look at verse 77, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins. John the Baptist announcing salvation in the forgiveness of sins to his people. That is all who trust in him. For all who, like Zechariah and John, trust in the Lord, we who trust in the Lord, we have his salvation in the forgiveness of our sins by his redemption, the payment of his price, the payment of the price, his blood shed on the cross, his life given for us at Calvary on the cross. That payment, that price, that bought us freedom. Freedom from the penalty of our sins, the forgiveness of our sins. John also, or Zechariah also, talks about this wonderful work of salvation, not only in terms of salvation from our sins, but also salvation from our enemies. This was part of the Abrahamic blessing that he mentions, the covenant with Abraham. Whoever curses you, I will curse. Whoever blesses you, I will bless. Those who curse us, those of us who are children of Abraham, sharing his faith, those who curse us, our enemies, the Lord's going to take care of that. He's going to deliver us from our enemies. He's going to curse. They'll receive their judgment. Curse the enemies. Deliver us from our enemies. So we see there in verse 68 and 77, this emphasis. One of the wonderful things that comes out of this redemption of Christ, the forgiveness of our sins, and then also the deliverance of us from our enemies, human and non-human, sin, Satan, and death, as well as those humans that arrange against us and those who follow Christ. If they don't repent, one day they'll receive their due retribution or judgment. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. We don't take vengeance ourselves, but God's going to do. Everything will be set right. There will be no injustice left hanging at the end of the day. God's and the good news is that for us who are in Christ, our justice has been paid for us by Christ, His mercy, His grace. And that's available to all who would trust in Him. But those who don't, they'll pay for it themselves. But at the end of the day, justice is going to be served, no more nor less. Perfectly, everything will be set right. And so one of the things that that frees us for is actually to be able to love our enemies. We leave vengeance in God's hands. Those who are coming against us, who hate us, we don't have to fret. We don't have to fear. God's going to set everything right. We can love them and call them to repentance in Christ and leave the settlement of all things that are left hanging in the hands and work of God. And so we see that this is part of the salvation that Christ has wrought, is deliverance from our enemies. You know, in glory, Satan, the beast, the false prophet, and all unbelievers will be in the lake of fire, separated from us in glory. We won't have even the presence of enemies around us anymore, human or non-human. So not only does his redemption mean freedom from the penalty of our sins, it also means freedom from the presence of our enemies, freedom from the power of our enemies. We've been set free from Satan. We no longer are slaves to Satan, those of us who are in Christ, but we get to serve the Lord. So this is the third part of this redemption that he mentions here, is freedom from our sins and from our enemies and for the service of the Lord, without fear and in the way of peace. Look at verse 74. That we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. So serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness. And then look at verse 78, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That we have a new way that we walk, this way of peace. We have peace with God, and we have no longer any fear, no longer fear of death, no longer fear of judgment, we who are in Christ. And we don't have to fear our enemies because they don't have the final say. Even if they put us to death, like happened with John the Baptist, the Lord still has us in our hand. Like Paul wrote in chapter 8 in Romans, some of those he wrote to were being led like sheep to the slaughter, but he says all things work together for our good and nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Jesus in John 16 told the disciples that in this world we'll have many troubles, many trials, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That whatever we face, whether it's from enemies, we don't have to fear no more. Those of us who are in Christ, we don't have to fear. We know that the Lord's going to do right. He has us in His hands. We know that we're in His grace and mercy, that Christ has paid for our sins. And so we don't have to fear our enemies, and we get to serve in this way of God. Having been set free from sin, we actually, those of us who are in Christ, get to follow in His way of peace and holiness and righteousness. Now we know that we're not yet completed works. He who began a good work in us will bring it to completion. We're works in progress. But we who are in Christ have been born again. We have a new heart. There's a new direction to our lives. We are actually free to be able to serve Him, whereas before we served Satan, we served sin. We've been now set free by the redemption of Christ that He won at the cross. We've been now set free through faith in Christ to actually serve the Lord. And we don't have to fear. And we have peace. And we know that us and this world and our enemies, it's all going to be taken care of by the Lord. And so this wonderful rising of salvation to dispel the darkness that we have in Christ, who's died for our sins and risen from the dead, that through faith in Him we have forgiveness, and then we also have deliverance from our enemies, and we have this wonderful privilege of serving the Lord in righteousness and holiness without fear on the way of peace. You know, serving in peace makes me think of, you know, you go back to the garden before sin, and Adam and Eve, it was a perfect state of peace, a perfect state of shalom, and they were given a task to care. Adam was told to tend the garden, to serve and to tend the garden. He was serving the Lord in peace, very satisfying and meaningful and enjoyable. This service of the Lord that we've been brought into is actually part of our freedom. Part of our freedom to serve the Lord and walk in His way of peace, becoming more like Christ and enjoying what He gives us to do for Him and His glory. And so all of this salvation that John the Baptist is the forerunner of, coming in Christ, Zechariah prophesies about the salvation of the Lord, the salvation that's all through Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, to whom we who are united by faith, in whom we have redemption, have peace, have freedom, the forgiveness of our sins once for all, the assurance of pardon. You know, when I got to go to Israel, one of the things that was a highlight for me this last summer was sitting and thinking and praying on a bench near, at least very close to the site where Christ was crucified. And I was thinking of the words from John 19 where he says, "It is finished." That those of us who know Christ as Savior, He has paid for our sins. It is finished. What we deserve for our sins has been paid for us by Christ. Justice has been served, but He took it for us to give us grace, to give us His mercy. And so for those of us who are in Christ, we have the forgiveness of sins, and an assurance of pardon. That we don't have to worry, we don't have to fear. It's been finished, and His righteousness has been counted to us through faith. So we are declared just and righteous from the moment of conversion and forever, based on the finished work of Christ. So this assurance of pardon that we have in Christ, and then this deliverance from our enemies, human and non-human, and this joy of serving the Lord, that we experience in part now, but in glory will be completely fulfilled, serving the Lord in perfect righteousness and holiness, without even the presence of sin. So this wonderful salvation that John is, by his very name, a sign toward. The Lord is gracious, this gracious salvation, whom John would announce beforehand as the forerunner, whom his father Zechariah prophesied, this redemption, that for all of us who trust in Christ, all of us who know Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have forgiveness of sins, we have freedom from our enemies, and this great privilege of service to God. And so this wonderful salvation is available to all who would trust in Christ, all who would turn to Him for salvation. And it's what we celebrate at His table. All of this redemption through Jesus Christ is purchased by Him going and dying on the cross as the perfect sacrifice in our place for our sins and being raised from the dead. And we who are united to Him by faith celebrate this in communion, where we together as one in our faith in Christ celebrate that we're one with Christ by faith. Communion, with union, we are together celebrating our union in Christ, who has died for our sins and risen from the dead to give us redemption, the forgiveness of sins, the freedom from our enemies, which will one day be fully completed, and has brought us into this way of peace, of serving the Lord in righteousness and holiness, in which we're growing. And this whole wonderful thing of salvation that we celebrate, that comes to us in Christ the Savior, is like a sunrise. Sunrise that has risen on the darkness of the world, that's shining still, that gives us this glorious hope and salvation that we have in Christ, that we have the privilege of telling others about, like John, like his dad, words of faith, pointing to the Savior, exalting Him, enjoying Him, celebrating His salvation, with the certain hope that one day the Son is going to perfectly, completely pervade all of creation and the new heavens and the new earth. And we'll serve the Lord on the way of peace and holiness and righteousness forever and ever with unabated joy, perfectly fulfilling the purpose that we have as his creatures to glorify him and enjoy him forever, to know him and to make him and his glory known.